Blog Talk Radio. And good evening, everybody. Hope you're enjoying this beautiful change of weather. I got to ask real quick before I introduce our guest, sir, what is the weather like in Houston?
It's incredible. It's astro fever. It's so hot. The Astros are just a couple games are one game away from the World Championship. No, it's beautiful. The weather's beautiful.
Well, congratulations to Houston on that. I got to tell you, I just got back from nowhere. I mean, literally, the backwoods of Tennessee. And I went up there deep into Cherokee country, and I'm excited to talk a little bit about that. But I think, sir, your voice is so recognizable. Just about everybody out there listening who does martial arts will probably recognize you. Ladies and gentlemen, Professor Gary Lee is our guest for this week, and I'm truly honored to have you, Professor, because you got a lot of wisdom, and you got a lot that you can dispel here. So thank you so much for being on the show this week.
Thank you for asking me. I'm very honored. Normally, you know, I get to interview people, but it's really different when I get interviewed recently.
You have your own show, absolutely, and I've been on your show too, and that was an honor.
Yes, you have.
But for Professor, I'm a very mixed up girl, very, very mixed up. And I do mean that biologically. Maybe some people can argue the other point. Anyway, my father's side is very heavy Cherokee, Native American. And I went up there in the backwoods of Tennessee, hooked up with my uncle. God bless him, a Navy vet. He's well in his 70s now. And he took me all around and into the Cherokee National Forest and the Great Smoky Mountains. And I actually went down to the Cherokee removal site at Blythe Ferry in Birchwood, Tennessee, and found my ancestor on the wall and paid a tribute to my ancestors who had to take the Trail of Tears. Yes, they took the Trail of Tears.
That's really cool.
Well, people want to know why you do something like that. And I got to tell you, because I firmly believe that if you have someone who has sacrificed so much so that you can have a better life, and their future, I think they deserve the honor and they deserve the respect, and we have to remember these people no matter who they are. You know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am. I'm about the elders myself because I come from a Hawaiian heritage, and I understand that completely. And I think because of where our society has gone, they've kind of forgotten that. And they should never forget where we all came from, and the elders gave us that beginning.
Absolutely. And whether it is someone of Native American descent who had to give up everything in the name of colonization and frontier, exploring the frontier on behalf of the European settlers, or whether it's someone who is a veteran today, there is sacrifice still being taken place. And we can't forget these people, and we have to teach our children not to forget their ancestors and those who came before them that have either paved the way or are securing their sense of having a country. And go ahead and tell me a couple minutes of that, because I know you're big on that, Professor. I've seen you in action.
Well, you know, it's like this year we honored 80 veterans and people who are still involved with the military at the event this year, this 25th anniversary, which you were there, and you understand that we won't honor 80 people every year, even though we'd love to. It will set a precedence for the honor of 10 people a year that are very special in the military or, you know, that serve our country. And yes, we are very patriotic at the Fort Quadra Museum, and I have some great mentors. Colonel Phil Torres, my student, who is also a mentor, Dean Piles, amazing people who love the military, work with the military, survive, you know, Vietnam, Colonel Torres, and Dean Piles works with the special forces every day. These gentlemen are my mentors and people direction in the right way to honor the, like we did this year. I was very honored to do that, to be able to have the platform.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And, of course, we're talking about your Living Legends event, which you host every year, and that's through you in the Sport Karate Museum, which I had the honor of being at. I did walk through your museum, and I actually placed a couple items in your museum.
Yes, you did. God bless you.
And I'm very honored as a journalist and someone who started an inner-city martial arts program. I want that to be recorded and remembered. And just like we talk about honoring our ancestors or our veterans, having a Sport Karate Museum honors those who paved the way in the business of martial arts, and I know that's what you're doing, and that's deeply appreciated. Very much.
Well,
so,
you know, I'm going to use an example, Mr. Herbin. May I call you Karen, please?
Please call me Karen.
Thank you. Karen, you know, you're a perfect example of what we do. I don't do it in the masses. I never have, even though Sport Karate has been around for 60 years, and there's masses of people who love Sport Karate. I do it one person at a time, and you're a good example, Karen, because you didn't know me at all. You knew me. You met me through a mutual friend, A.J. Perry, Master Perry, and he spoke highly of you, just really highly of you. So I said, well, I've got to meet her, and of course, you didn't know me from a hill of beans, and like everybody else you talk to, you always assume they're telling you the truth, but you always keep your guard up, and you always try to give them the best, but you always also listen to see if that person's real or not. When I first talking to you, the first thing I felt was your spiritual insight of how you felt, how I would talk to you as a person on the phone. Believe it or not, that's what I thought about, because I can feel your spirit. And some people I talk to on the phone, I can talk to them all day long, I never feel anything. You know, it's business, or it's just mutual, or it's just acquaintance, or what I have to do to talk to them. But every now and then, I talk to someone, and there's a spiritual connection. And I felt that with you, maybe because you're your native background, because of what we've gone through just in the past year, we've seen what you've earned. You know, not only the Editor's Choice nomination, but the Karate Angel Award. That's very personal to me, because that was something I just created this year.
Yes, sir. And I'm truly honored.
Mark Peggles.
I'm truly honored with that. And, you know, we're going to, at the end of the show, I would like to once again talk about your plans with moving forward with the Living Legend events, and we'll certainly discuss a lot of those things.
Cool.
So, you know, there's people may not know this, Professor, but we have a lot in common, and we have talked more than once on the telephone. And believe me, the sense is mutual, because I know that you're a spiritual person as well. But we also have kinship in that you also have Asian. So I told you my father's side being heavy Native American, my mother's is Asian. My mom is Japanese. And is it your mom who's Japanese as well?
My father was Japanese. My father was Japanese, my real father. So my mother was Polynesian, so I'm really three-fourths Asian. Polynesian is a combination of Filipino, Hawaiian, whatever. But my mother was full Polynesian, but I was adopted at a very young age by an American family. And my journey's been different, but I do have Asian background, and I believe that we all are instilled with something very special from the past, whatever that may be, and I've been instilled with the warrior Bushido attitude, absolutely.
And there's some incredible warriors coming out of the Polynesian islands as
Amen.
Well. And
yep.
I also have not as much Polynesian as you, but I do have some Polynesian as well.
You got heart. I picked up in your heart. You got a good heart. So those.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm truly honored. And to me, I think when you're a spiritual person, just like the Bible says, if you don't have love, you're just a noisy instrument. You know, you have to have love going forth if you're going to say you're a spiritual person. If not, you need to like double check and see, you know, what in what name of spirituality you're setting yourself for. That being said, you know, I don't want any pressure, because I'm human and I screw up. I don't like the pressure, but you know what? Every day I take it one day at a time and do my best to try to be an outstanding person. I know a lot of people, when you're high ranked in martial arts, like you and I both are, they definitely look up to us, especially the young ones coming up. And I always try to remember that, you know, though sometimes I don't, but I certainly try to remember that people are watching me. And, you know, they're watching us. So good. That's a very good point as well. But anyway, Professor,
yes.
You know, you look like you could be related to me. Honestly, I think I met you in Houston not long ago, a few weeks ago, and I thought, wow, he really looks like he could be someone from my family. It's just amazing. I think I even told you that. And I know, and by the way,
Asians look alike, Karen. Don't you know that?
Well, that's true. You're very, very handsome man as well. So, you know, and I mean that in all goodness. But, you know, you've gone through some change here. And you really culminated to some point somewhere in your life. And I won't ask you how old you are, but how old are you?
I am 53 years old. And
did you say 5?
I have gone through a major change here in the past year.
Okay, well, you weren't even recognizable from the pictures I've seen that are on file and social media.
I went from 292 down to 196, and I lost a lot of weight because I was very cold turkey, as they call it. You know, I had this reunion, besides being the 25th Living Legends. I hadn't seen some of these guys, and there was over 40 guys there this year at the Legends that I've been in the wars with and been in the ring with and fought and beat up or beat me up or whatever the level may be. And I just didn't want to – I wanted to have a good reunion. Plus, it was a reunion of many things. The first time my wife, my daughter, my son, my son-in-law, my granddaughter, my mother have always been in the same room together. So lots of reunions, and I wanted to lose the weight, and I cold turkeyed it. I went on a water diet, fish only, no restaurants, no fast food, no alcohol, didn't smoke.
Well, hang on. We got to break this down now, Professor.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you went from 290-some pounds to 190-some pounds. So you
I was always fighting 175, 185 when I was fighting, and my best time was when I was –
You're a tall guy. You're pretty tall.
I'm 5'8", 5'9". I'm not
what?
Very tall.
I thought you were taller than
tall.
That. Okay. But,
you lost
pretty darn close to 100 pounds.
Yes.
If not. And you're telling me that you did it by drinking a lot of water and eating fish, just period. I mean, you just totally
did it. Well, my supplements, I did my vitamins and my exercise. And I'm really a cotta. I'm a kata fanatic, and kata got me through. I know it's what people say, well, you're just talking about karate, but it's true. Kata and fish and water, lots of water.
Okay.
Because you get hungry, you're hungry, you fill yourself up with water. People say, well, you know, you can't do that. Well, I did, and, you know, I did my supplements, my vitamins, but I lost the weight because I cold turkey.
But wait a minute, though. This is not you make it sound easy, but you have to have.
No. You know how many times I go to restaurants a week, Karen? I went to restaurants at least 5 times a week, and I'm not talking about just restaurants, fast food, which I did that too. I spent a lot of time with a lot of people, and we eat, and it was a hard thing for me to do that. I still socialized, but I didn't eat at the restaurant.
How did you have the discipline and the willpower to do something like that?
I have a sport karate museum to run, and I have a higher power to answer to daily to make things happen for the things around me. As you said, when you're passionate about something, as you and I are, you want to do it for other people. You want to make people feel good. I hope this interview, and I shared this with you, you bring out another part of Gary Lee that people don't really know, and I don't share it with a lot of people, but I share it with you because I feel spiritually kin to you. So I don't mind talking about anything. I lost the weight because I wanted to do it for the reunion. I wanted to do it for my health. And I'm 63 years old. I'd like to maybe even compete again in kata. I believe I have the heart for it.
Professor, your first week when you started on this fish and water diet, were you miserable, or was it easy to do that?
No, I had a lot of sushi. I didn't throw out my rice in the beginning. Now I eat really a lot of sashimi, but I'm sorry. I had a lot of sushi, and So it was not hard because I did that anyway. But I just made the discipline of not going to restaurants and fast foods. And
okay, so you cut out a lot of the eating out. And after, like, the first couple of weeks, did it get easier to stick with?
No, it was hard. It was hard. It was tough, man. I mean, I've been a big boy my whole life, Karen. I mean, I've been double chin my whole life. So I understand
what
it's like to eat.
Honestly, I didn't recognize you. I honestly did not recognize
you
at all.
Well, you know, like I said, I was a big boy. But I was very lucky, and I was gifted to be able to move quick. But I always held me back.
How about now?
My left leg is gone pretty much from the six-pack shows, but my kata's strong, and my sword is strong. I just won a championship this weekend. So,
well, congratulations on that. But I'm asking you about the diet, sir. Is it easier to stick to now with a little bit of time?
Yes. Oh, yes. It's enjoyable now. I'm enjoying
it. How much time went by before your body and your mind got in sync and you could stick to this diet? How much time had to go by?
About three to four months into it, I realized that I was losing weight. And the best enjoyment, I know this sounds crazy, but getting rid of all my clothes, all my slacks, my suits, you know, all my double X size blazers, and going shopping and buying new clothes. I know that sounds bad, but it was fun.
No, it doesn't. It sounds like you deserve to. After that, you absolutely, absolutely deserve to. Okay, Professor. I've been doing a little bit of research on something that has been really on my mind and brought to my attention. And you know what? I picked up this can of Campbell's soup because, you know, I'm actually a vegetarian, and I have been my entire life. I don't have a problem with meat. I just don't like the way it tastes. I don't like the texture in my mouth. I've always been like that since I was little. And I eat actually very Asian as well. I do like a lot of seaweed and you know, I do vegetables and stuff like that. So, you know, I love soup. I love vegetable soup. I always have. And I picked up a can of Campbell's soup, and I'm reading over it. And I'm looking at the bottom of it, and it has this disclaimer. This is Campbell's soup. It says, partially produced with genetic engineering. For more information about GMO ingredients, visit blah, 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 blah. Okay, so I go and do a little bit of research on GMO. GMO means genetically modified organisms. In other words, GMO is created by man. It is not a natural organism. It's basically bioengineered food. Have you heard of GMO, sir?
Yes, I have. And that really is something that I love to share with you, because I think you should read everything that you buy, first of all. Take time to do that. Don't just assume that it's food. The other thing is that I learned this from losing this weight. It's what you put into your body that makes the difference of how you still act regular, even though you're losing weight. And so lots of vegetables, like you said, lots of natural things. And always read the labels of things. That's really interesting that you say that.
Well, now, Professor, the GMO is pretty tricky because the government – does not require food companies to label their foods as genetically modified. And there are some of the bigger companies like Campbell's is coming out and saying, well, listen, we've seen the research and we know people have a problem, so just so people won't think we're dishonest, we're going to put this label really tiny, tiny under the ingredients. And trust me, it's tiny, but at least they put it on there. But I want to give a little bit of factual information here about GMOs. Again, this is genetically modified, bioengineered food by man. Over 22 different diseases and toxicity is related now to GMOs, including intestinal damage. Also, we're talking about non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, so cancers, intestinal diseases, and even Parkinson's disease and reproductive problems. This is an issue that is starting, they're starting to prove scientifically that is taking place. Here's what's alarming, Professor. 92% of the corn and 94% of the soy grown in the U.S. are genetically modified. So if you think of all the foods out there that have like corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, or soy, I mean, the percentage is astronomical. Then you're going to talk about getting genetically modified foods into your system and exposing your body to all these diseases. And so when I think of, you know, something as old and favorable as a can of Campbell's soup, it's pretty shocking for me to actually read that I'm putting something, a toxicity in my body that eventually will build up and would cause a cancer or an intestinal problem or disease. You know what, Professor, that's scary. Yeah, I mean,
it all comes down to money, the fact of how they can cut costs to make artificial foods. And, of course, it's the masses, and that's really the scary part, is that we're not losing population, we're gaining population. So, you know, if they're going to share that vision with money. So the people that would be affected by it will be the masses, of course, because they'll cover it up with this label, and people won't catch on until people are educated. So
right.
Education is part of the process to be able to help
exactly.
another generation
understand
that.
And that's my point of bringing this up, because most people, I don't think, are familiar with the 90 percentile of the food that has been genetically modified with our government's blessing. Let me read some of the list here. Soups, frozen foods, baby formula, especially the soy baby formula, cereals, frozen vegetables, frozen and fresh corn, zucchini, squash. These are all ingredients that we eat on a daily basis that is actually causing harm to our bodies. And, you know, you would ask, well, what is the remedy to these foods? And the truth is, you know, the closer you can eat to nature has always been the better option. But when you're talking about demodifying our natural foods, even our oils that we cook with, because they're corn oils or they're soy-based oils, anything with corn or soil, and that's a huge percentile of what we buy at a grocery store, is going to be an issue. So, of course, if you can eat organic, you're going to be better off. But organic has certain government stipulations. It can't even be processed anywhere near non-organic food. And you know, it's expensive. The way they process organic food without pesticides, it costs a lot of money. And most people, I mean, if you can afford it, beautiful. But most people that have a family of 4 to 6 people, it gets very expensive for everybody to eat organic food. You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, you see that in the different high class of stores that have the organic food. It's always a higher price market bracket. And that's the reason why most people don't do it. but, again, like you said, it's going through that direction that people are getting more education and they understand that what they put into their bodies is the most important factor, because that's how you live your day-to-day life. And you can't take that for granted, ever.
Absolutely. So, and, you know, a lot, you know, even I was just talking, you know, with my husband about, man, it's just sometimes I'll eat and I feel so bloated. It's like, you know, I know I didn't eat that much, but why does my belly feel so bloated? And they're starting to link that to the foods that we're eating and you know, how they're genetically altering our foods. And I'm wondering if a lot of the gastrointestinal issues that we're facing today, even from babies on, you know, isn't a result of this biochemically engineered food, a bioengineered that's actually breaking down the organisms in the food. You know, if that's not maybe an issue that we're seeing here, when you just feel like, man, I don't know, I'm a vegetarian, like I said, Professor, I should not be feeling, you know, like there's something, like there's a bloatingness or something wrong when I eat. But I got to tell you, a lot of times, especially when I go to those salad bars, something's off or weird or different with something. I don't know what it is, a preservative or what it is, but it messes with me and causes me to be very reactive in my intestinal system. I don't know if you've noticed anything like that. Let me ask you, when you go to the salad bar, did you ever notice?
Well, here's the first thing I'll share with you. The higher class salad bars, they'll wash them down. They'll wash them down. And they'll probably do it consistently, pretty much. You know, just water it down and just keep it clean. You know, the ones that don't, then I wouldn't eat there. But, you know, like I said, you wonder how clean it is before it gets to your table. You know, watch a television show that's on television. I forget the names of them. But the ones that do they go into restaurants and they find how dirty they really are and you're eating it.
Oh, yeah.
You don't really realize that. So you wonder the carelessness of who the person has and takes care of the food before it gets in front of you. So
right. That's
why it's important you check everything out and, you know, take care of yourself.
Check it out if you can.
Best way you can.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, GMOs don't have to be labeled. But, you know, even like the smell, you can smell the smell on the lettuce at a salad bar. Like something doesn't smell right. You know, there's a chemical, a preservative, I don't know. But, you know, you can drive yourself crazy if you think about it too much because then you start to think, well, you know, that's why I eat meat. But, you know, what, cows eat corn. So, well, the corn had a GMO in it, so there you go. How about the milk? The milk's got a GMO in it now, you know. And you know, as a spiritual person, I always say pray before you eat anyway. You know, Bible says you can even drink poison if you pray before it won't hurt you. But I want to bring up a point. I know that also that you happen to be a Christian, and we've talked about that. But in Genesis chapter 1, 29 and 30, is a verse in there that basically says that God has provided through nature fruit, seeds, vegetables, and that kind of thing that will sustain your life. And I really do think if God created it, maybe we should try to leave it alone when we consume it as much as we possibly can, because when we start to alter the way that God has provided things in nature, I think we're going to get into trouble with diseases and issues that normally we haven't seen just generations before us. You know, like I went back in Tennessee and you know, they were farmers back there. They grow their own food. Even my Uncle Don, he was giving me food that he had grown himself or canned, you know, canning and preserving and that kind of thing, natural preservation. But, you know, they have because there is so much more to do. I mean, working on a farm is not easy working and raising all the kids and everything like that. And I really do think eating properly without preservatives gave them a certain sense of energy and vitality that we're losing today, because when we eat a lot of our foods now, we just want to go, you know, not move for the rest of the day. We don't feel good. We're zapped, we're bloated, and I just basically I wanted to bring you on, Professor, because I know that you got really healthy within the last year or so. You lost almost 100 pounds, and you're watching what you eat. And I just wanted people to be aware of that everything that you consume is going to be part of you, anything you intake into your body, because we're all, you know, we're sponges. We're all sponges. Whatever you
we only expel, you know, hopefully the bad part. So you sweat it out, and then of course you have your movement. But the bottom line is a lot of stuff stays inside your body. So it's important what you put in at first hand is important, and just don't take it for granted. Read the labels.
Absolutely.
I'm glad we talked about this. Read the labels, and read what you're buying at the store. And don't take it for granted.
Please do.
All good for you.
And if it's not organic, look at the label and see if there are corn or soy ingredients. And then maybe reconsider taking the extra time it takes to read other labels of products. I mean, if you're going to pay a matter of 10 or 20 cents more for the sake of your health, it may very well be worth it. And then maybe we can send some of these companies a message that we don't appreciate them feeding us food that is going to break us down, make us sick, and eventually lead to a premature death. Professor, this is I appreciate you helping me nail this point home. We have a few more minutes here, and I want you to go ahead and give yourself a plug, sir, because you deserve it. Listen, that event you put on was wonderful in Houston, and I know it's a lot of work. So tell me a little bit about what you got going on and what you want to plug, and then we'll go ahead and say our goodbyes.
Well, I appreciate the time, and I do want to simply plug the fact that I'm the luckiest sport karate guy in the world to be able to do the Sport Karate Museum on a daily basis. And for more information, you go directly go to www.sportkaratemuseum.org, or you can call directly at 713-483-0476. And yes, we are preparing for it, Living Legends 26, and it's a secret until the day after Christmas. The official secret is day after Christmas, and it's going to be a good one this year. But the 25th one was really special because people like yourself were there, and, you know, putting together 60 years of sport karate was a lot of work, but it was worth every moment that I got to share with those legends there. And, you know, I really feel in my heart to be blessed to be able to do something like that. And
absolutely. I don't know why you're kind of trailing off a little bit there, sir. You might have to, like, hug that microphone a little more. But basically, I heard you say that you're preparing for the next show, and I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. You always put on a good show, and it was so nice meeting all those legends. I mean, some of the fighters from the 60s and the 70s and so on, and, man, they're still kicking, and they're funny.
Yes, you got to hang out with John the Two-Head and Jerry Pennington and Mikey Romore and just incredible groups. You know, Jim Miller called me this morning, and Coach, we talked about fishing first of all, but, you know, he hadn't seen John the Tiphead in 40 years. And,
I know.
The reunion was really special. You know, we did have a spiritual flavor this year. I hope you picked up on that a little bit. You know, not just the personal verses that were around the room, but also the testimonies of, like, Troy Dorsey and my 7th-degree black belt, Dr. Cameron Jahabzadeh, and sharing their faith. And knowing that, and this is what I'm sharing with you, is that the only reason why the Living Legends is successful is that my partner, Sheehan Darlene McPherson Pagels, her lovely husband, Mark Pagels, the minister who gave out the Karate Angel Awards, and the vision of giving my life through Jesus Christ is giving him
Amen.
The Living Legends, him taking over.
Wow.
So, you know, the reason why I have such a blessing in doing such a great event for everybody, not only the Hawaiian Ohana, but the blessing of my Lord and Savior. And
I'm
a lucky guy to be able to do that and share that experience with people every year, and also do it yearly throughout the year to share that. So, God's blessed me. Amen.
Wow. Dad, I appreciate you sharing that because, and I do share your reasoning. And I also share in on your blessings. And I do want to say thank you for the Karate Angels award that you gave me this year. And by the way, that has nothing to do, ladies and gentlemen, with the Victoria's Secrets Angels Award.
Can I say something about that, please?
Not that kind of angel. Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. You know, the Karate Angels was really started when we lost the greatest heavyweight fighter ever lived. His name was Joe Louis.
And right.
There's two people, excuse me, that honor Mr. Louis every year, and one is Mr. Corley's Battle of Atlanta and the amazing award that he gives, the Internal Warrior Award that he gives out, and then the Natural Fighter Award that I give out every year. And I went through the permission of going through Roger Green, his first black belt, Paul Amano, who runs the Joe Louis Association, and the blessing, and to give out that every year. And then the same thing with the Karate Angel was that we lost him. We lost him to that terrible disease, that terrible big C. And
right.
My attitude was every year I should honor those guys that we lost. So I do. And then I wanted to handpick people of the Lord, people I knew that were very special. They had that very spiritual upbringing in life to uplift other people. And you're definitely in that category. And Mark Pagels, who is the minister of Anahuacan, Texas, and the incredible friend of mine, he was the very first one. And through his mentorship, I told him the people I was going to choose. And that Karate Angel is a very special award because every year
it is.
That person will recognize the fact that they're very special. Besides being a martial artist, but being part of that legacy in the beginning part of Mr. Louis and how it all started it, with that we lost
right.
the people that we lost this year, you know, alone.
Well, and
we lost nine history generals this year. So. stuff.
And as it reads on the certificate, it's about giving back. And as a martial artist who has committed to giving back in a spiritual sense, and, you know, with that, I think most people know I have an inner-city martial arts program I started 17 years ago. These are former gang members, street kids, homeless people. And, you know, now 17 years later to see several of them become black belt instructors on their own and they go out into the community themselves and do what I did. That's Karate Angel to me. And I'm very honored, but I did it all for, you know, the glory of my Lord who I serve. And I ask that people continue to pray for us because it's not safe work to go in the worst parts of the cities. And we're all over the country and the world now. To go on the worst
we all have our karate angels watching over us, and you certainly have your karate angel watching over you as I've had mine. And, you know, they take care of us through our trials and tribulations that we go through on a daily basis. And
exactly. And I'm truly honored with that. As we continue to grow and also in my program, you know, Gary, we're certainly going to keep an eye out the great things you have planned for your Living Legends show for next year as well. I would just like to encourage everybody. I do have an inspirational group page, about close to 5,000 people now. And if you like my writing, I've been writing for well over 20 years in the martial arts industry, all philosophy. Please tune it in. I have a lot of people who have nothing to do with martial arts that enjoy the philosophy, and it's very positive and it's very upright, and it's very godly as far as the philosophy goes. Go to Master Karen Eden, Master of Inspiration on Facebook. I have 4 books out. Please feel free to check them out. 2 through Century Martial Arts are martial arts philosophy books. I am a martial artist, and they call me master. I'm a martial artist, actually sold out, but I'm working with Mike Dillard and his guys to get that reordered in time for Christmas. And also my product lines I have through Century Martial Arts. And, you know,
Amy,
of course,
cool.
My magazine.
Did you get to hang out with Mike? This my legend.
Yes,
he's one
I
of the
did. I showed him around.
The sport. Yeah.
Yes, I showed him around the museum. He was very impressed. I do write for two karate magazines every month, Martial Arts Success and Taekwondo Times. I'm deeply honored. But you know what, Professor Gary, it's a journey, and I feel like we got a lot more things to do. You've already cleaned up your diet. I need to, even though I'm a vegetarian, I want to clean up my diet and get rid of the poisons that I'm eating here and even the vegetarian food, evidently. And we'll just keep praying and keep moving forward. Sir, I want to thank you so much, Professor Gary Lee, for being my guest today and helping me get this word out about what you intake will be a part of your life as far as what you consume. At this time, we have got to sign off, and I just want to say I look forward to working with you again, and God bless you, and thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much, and stay tuned to my show on Tuesday night live. God bless you.
God bless you. Yes, your show as well. Thank you. God bless you, everybody. Thank you. We'll see you next time. Master Karen Eden, Master of Inspiration, signing out. Bye-bye.
This program is brought to you by the American Martial Arts Alliance and Who's Who in the Martial Arts. Visit our website so you can own a copy of Who's Who in the Martial Arts. This book is considered as the martial arts history book. Visit our website, www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com, or give us a call, 919-489-6100.